Matt Barnes did just fine. The Sacramento Kings, 106-103. They outscore the T-Wolves in the second half, 52-38, after they were down by as much as, I believe, 18. First time in 112 games they've been down 18 and come back to win the ball game. It wasn't defense, guys.
112 or 115?
Nate, did you say 112 earlier?
112.
That was 112.
What a
nice. In a long time. A long, long time. And over a season's worth of games, they were able to come back and win. It was a team effort. Four players, in double figures. One of those was Ben McLemore on 5 of 10 shooting, 13 points in just 18 minutes. Guys, the Kings are 2-1. Your thoughts really on the game? Should they have never been down that much, or was it just simply one of those gritty, fun wins?
Oh, well, it's tough to say they should never be down like that. I mean, teams are going to have rough starts. Teams are going to have great starts. One of the things that the Kings have struggled with in terms of Minnesota for the last couple years has just been their length and athleticism. And so for them to kind of come out a little bit slow offensively and they struggled defensively, the great thing about it is halftime adjustments, whatever happened, Coach Jaeger did a really tremendous job of making those adjustments, and the team did a great job of executing them. Andrew Wiggins had a horrible third quarter. He went 1 of 6 and had 4 points after he had a tremendous first half of the game. So there was a lot of good things in it, Nate.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that was the halftime adjustments were the big part. I don't want to live and die by every quarter. And that's why after those first two, I was looking at the stats and I mentioned that 60% shooting percentage. Like, yeah, the Kings defense wasn't great, but the T-Wolves were hitting shots. And I just couldn't help but think in the back of my head, this is going to come back to earth at some point. I mean,
you're right. And I thought the Kings actually were getting great shots that just weren't falling in the first half as well.
7:08, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. We continue our Kings coverage. This is what you missed, though, in the first hour. For all that and more, I don't know why you would, but go to KHDK.com.
Don't oversell it, Dave.
For more information. You know, the Timberwolves shot better from the field, 51-45%. The Timberwolves out-rebounded the Kings. The Timberwolves had less turnovers than the Kings. Somehow, the Kings managed to overcome giving up 34 and 31 points in the first and second quarters alone. They had the 12-point third quarter. That's really where they won the game. That's what put them in the game, was that run and outscoring the T-Wolves 31-12.
Yeah, that 24-1 run in the third quarter was the difference in the game. And you go into the fourth quarter, you were up by 9, I believe, or I know at the first time out in the fourth quarter, they were up by 9. And, you know, I think the big key to this game is Andrew Wiggins is a beast. Yes, Karl Anthony Towns is fantastic, but you also counter that with DeMarcus Cousins and what he's able to give you. But what they were able to do defensively, especially in that third quarter on Andrew Wiggins, was the difference of that game.
Matt Barnes was the player of the game for me.
Oh,
I mean, 9 assists
absolutely.
From him on a busted up rib. What more could you ask of that guy? Especially after DeMarcus fouls out too. I mean, DeMarcus had big numbers, but he had kind of a rough stretch in the second half there between the technical foul and then fouling out.
Wait, hold on. Lauren Holtkamp wasn't reffing this game, was she?
Stunning.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You know, because the remarkable part about it is that, like, on, let's see, I'm thinking of two specific plays, the one where he got the technical and then the one where he fouled out.
Yeah.
I mean, we all saw the replay. DeMarcus was the only person in that building that thought that he didn't get the call.
No,
you're wrong. Uh-oh. You're wrong, Nate. You're wrong in
the
sense
that.
Did
you not see the replay?
No, let me finish.
Yeah, let her finish. Nate, you're wrong. Just sit there.
You're wrong.
Wrongness.
You're wrong in the sense that I think everyone misinterpreted DeMarcus's reaction to thinking that he did not agree with the call. Spoke to him afterwards. He's like, absolutely, I could tell that I did not make it out of the semicircle. He said, I was furious with myself for making that mistake. He was not upset with the call. I know, and that's the problem. Yeah, you can say that. Maybe you do or you don't believe it, but I was standing like maybe 10 feet away when it happened, and that was my initial thought is he mad at the call or is he mad at himself? Because I kind of got the impression that he was upset with himself.
Nate,
believe it or not.
Yeah, he was also in hot yoga during the draft, by the way. That's why he reacted that way on Twitter when they picked the Oregon.
Right.
I mean, let's.
Well, that was just a gutsy move by him in the first place, knowing he had five fouls and still going to protect the rim. I mean, because the alternative is he steps out of the way.
Your question about Matt Barnes. Okay, guys, this is from the text line. I'm having a personal conflict with the Kings. I love to hate Matt Barnes, but I find myself starting to cheer for him. Is this normal, Jason and Rockland? The answer is yes, it is normal.
It's okay.
No matter how much you dislike a player, when they come on your team, all their past transgressions are justified and rationalized in your head if they perform well for your team.
So, and Matt Barnes probably leads that whole thing for the NBA.
We'll take a break. And
him
when
and
we return, four down territory coming up next. We'll refocus on football, Lincoln Kennedy and Sean Salisbury. So we got a nice hour of football for you. And then we get back to the Kings and we give you an Apple TV plus the Barrico moment of the game. All coming up on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
That's Oakland Raiders quarterback Derek Carr following the clutch win in Tampa Bay. Guys, have the Raiders established themselves as true contenders, or do they still need to beat Denver?
Let me say something. Since we haven't talked Raiders for about 45 minutes, I got this guy from the 408 Bay Area on the text line lighting me up here. We know you aren't a Raider fan. Your son said so, and it shows. Because when Mason came in. Sure, they haven't played Denver, but I could say Denver. He's lighting me up for being negative on the Raiders. Listen, tiny brain, window-licking Raider fan. If you look at my Twitter, I'm so happy for them, and I'm not saying they're not a contender. They're fantastic. You only play the schedule in front of you. I know all that. All I'm saying is, Raider fan, temper it a little bit. They have yet to beat a team that is above 500 right now. And the two teams they've played that are above 500, they lost to at home. The big test is Denver. That is the measuring stick, is all I'm saying. I can answer this question after that game a little bit better, because right now, yeah, I think they'll make the playoffs, but are they true contenders? I don't know yet, because I haven't seen them get a quality win yet.
So, Dave, I've got to ask you, when you write this question and you say true contender,
yes.
When we were starting off the NFL season, the question was, will the Raiders be able to get into the playoffs?
Yes.
That was kind of the benchmark, the goal. And now, with the way that they've started, and yes, they haven't had the strongest schedule, but they've taken care of business, and they've won games on the road, which is very difficult. So what are we talking about here? Contenders for what?
Contenders for, are they a contender to make noise in the playoffs? Can they go on a championship run? It's the question was not, should Raider fans be happy with it? Be ecstatic. It's awesome. They're improved. Derek Carr is amazing. All the question is, are they true contenders yet to make a run? And my answer is just simply, I don't know. I need them to have a quality win. One win against an above 500 opponent. Just one.
Now you're just moving the goalpost, because any win on the road is a quality win. Any win in the East Coast time zone is a quality win. And when you start the season 5-0 on the road,
awesome.
People are going to take notice.
It's
and I don't
huge.
Even think they have to beat the Broncos to be considered a contender, because the Broncos are the reigning AFC champs. If you don't beat them, there's nothing lost.
Sure.
You might get two more chances at them this season. They could still lose to the Broncos at home, be 6-3, and they're a contender.
You trust
them
as a contender right now?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'll say this.
Yes.
We'll learn a lot about them after that Broncos game.
Second down.
Well, let me preface this first by...
Yes.
No! Fine!
No, go ahead, man.
No, let me preface this by saying I'm also a window-licking Raiders fan.
No, that guy. Not that was not Raider
no,
Nation.
But
that guy.
I'm just throwing myself in the melting pot, but hearing a 49er fan telling a Raider fan to temper it down a little bit is a bit of an oxymoron.
Say it
down. Well, how about the Cowboy fans? I think they need to kind of tone it down a little bit. But that's Dez Bryant with the big touchdown there. Best game from an amazing NFL Sunday. Give me yours.
Oh, it has to be the Cowboys and the Eagles. There were so many great games, overtime games, close games at the end. But this game particularly, I think, is important for the NFL moving forward. If they're smart, I said it last Friday, they're smart. They've got to start looking at these two quarterbacks as the stars of the future for the NFL and marketing that way. Dak Prescott, amazing. And I'm sorry, but if Tony Romo even steps on the field again this year, there is something seriously wrong in Dallas.
Well, that's funny you put it that way, because to me, the Cowboys are the favorites in the NFC with a healthy Romo and Dez connection, but that's neither here nor there. You're missing the boat. The best game this weekend was the London game. It was a tie.
You're full of it.
Because the NFL needs chaos. This makes me happy. And for all of the, whether it was the Raiders and the Bucks or the Eagles and the Cowboys, Cowboys. I found myself hoping for two more ties because screw Roger Goodell.
I would say... I'm actually going to, for once, agree with Katrina Christensen here. I would say it's that. And Matt, to your point about tempering it down, that's exactly my point. The Dallas Cowboys, four of their wins have come against teams that are above 500. Three in a row against teams that are above 500. They went into Green Bay and beat the Packers, who lost yesterday. I get that. But for Dallas, again, you only play, I keep saying it, the schedule that's in front of you. Dak Prescott is for real. Ezekiel Elliott is the truth. And the one thing I was waiting for in watching this team is, can Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant form a relationship on the field? And you saw some of that answer last night. If he's healthy, Bryant, and he comes back and he continues to be a huge... By the way, you might want to cover Jason Witten Eagles. I'm just saying, you might want to cover
just
him.
Saying.
Nobody within 500 feet of the guy and he catches a winning touchdown. Third down.
Cam Newton is not having fun anymore because he doesn't feel safe. Does he have a point?
Well, yes, in the sense that what sport do you think you're playing, Cam? It's professional football. It's not safe. And as much as they try to, I don't know, tell you that they're protecting you, football's never going to be a game where you should feel safe. I don't even understand what he's saying.
He thinks that other quarterbacks are being protected more than he is.
Well, if you're a runner...
You know, to be very honest, I'd probably have to go through. I'd like to see the Panthers put out a video montage. I'd like to see in every game. Now, the one point is there hasn't been a roughing the quarterback penalty called for in Cam Newton's favor since the opening game against Denver. But you're right, Nate. That's exactly the point. Cam Newton is a two-way weapon. Cam Newton is a runner. Cam Newton is the type of guy that's going to take more hits than say, an Alex Smith who took a huge one yesterday.
Well, look at Tony Romo.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Tony Romo is probably the guy you would point to that gets that protection Cam Newton is imagining. And, I mean, he's broken his back like three straight seasons or something like that. Ask him if he feels safe as a quarterback that's not a runner.
Well, he got hit in the pocket yesterday, and this is what he's complaining about. But you're right, Nate. This is the NFL. If he at any point feels that he, when he steps out on the field, he is supposed to feel safe, he's delusional.
All right, you got to pick one or the other, contender or pretender, Dallas and Oakland.
I'm going to go with Dallas, and that doesn't mean I don't think Oakland.
Wait, that's what?
That's the contender. Yeah, excuse me. I'm going to go with Dallas. I think they have the best offensive line in sports in the NFL. That's obvious. Dak Prescott and them are on a run, and I think they have a handful of quality wins. If I have to pick one of the two right now, and I think the NFC is a little more wide open, I'm going to go Dallas.
Ugh, I hate you, Dave. I have to go Dallas as well. I don't even like being put in the position to choose on this question,
yeah,
but thanks for that. I did it.
Yeah,
hey,
you
I did.
It. Hey, well done. Katie made a choice. Atta girl.
Well, you guys are both wrong because it's Oakland. Wow. Unless Tony Romo and Dez Bryant are healthy for the Cowboys, I'm not trusting a rookie quarterback to go on the road and win a game
okay.
in the playoffs.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. That's very fair. You know what else? It's 7:27. Time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. In just over an hour, we will give you an Apple TV. We'll also give you an opportunity to win a gift certificate from Bearco Redwood. Write that down. Bearco Redwood play of the game from Saturday versus the Timberwolves. Coming up next, we got a full hour of football ahead of you. Lincoln Kennedy starts it off, and we talk Raiders on the Drive. Sports 1140 KHCK. I want to remind you, Four Down Territory brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs, made the way you want them. And also want to remind you to join the KHDK Street Team at the grand opening of Jersey Mike's. That's Wednesday noon to 1 Watt Avenue, Ardentown Center. Come by to win tickets to see Bon Jovi.
Hey.
For more info. I'm going. I'm telling you, I'm serious. I'm going. I'm very much looking forward to that show. For more info, visit KHDK.com. We got Lincoln right now. Oh, wow. Lincoln
not
Kennedy.
Bad.
Fresh off yet another Raider victory in Tampa. Just a ho-hum victory for the Raiders. No excitement at all, Lincoln, brought to you each week by Jiffy Lube, JiffyLubeCA.com for valuable coupons. How are you, Link?
Wait, you guys are wanting something exciting to talk about or what? No.
Do we or do we not?
No, this is Raider football.
Is this a problem because I'm on here?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's just what we do. So, no, a win is a win. No. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good morning, Lincoln. I'm getting killed by Raider Nation right now.
Why?
I can't hear him. Oh, there we go.
We're trying to celebrate the win. I understand it, and I know
You're
I'm being Debbie Downer face. We had a couple of questions early on, and one of them was, like, do you consider the Raiders a bona fide contender? My point I'm trying to make is they're 5-0 on the road. The team has changed. The culture has changed. Derek Carr is amazing. Amari Cooper is amazing. Like, I have sung the Raiders' praises all year long. And then I just threw in, here's the thing. They have yet to beat a team that is above 500. The two teams they've played that are above 500 right now, they lost to at home. And to me, the true, real test for this team, as far as contender or pretender, is let's see how they do against Denver coming up. I'm getting destroyed, Lincoln, for being a Raider hater. I'm just saying I'm not completely on board yet with the whole Super Bowl thing.
I get it. And I won't go so far as to say they are Super Bowl caliber. But I do believe this Raider team is playoff caliber.
Yes.
And I say that, you know, tongue-in-cheek, of course. I agree with every point you made, and you're absolutely right. We still don't know what we have in this team. But I will tell you, what's rewarding at the halfway point after 8 games, the way I look at it, is the fact that this team can win on the road. So mm-hmm. How does that quantify with the rest of the season? If this team ends up the way I think it will, in a wild card position, they're going to have to go on the road and play teams. They've shown that they can win on the road.
Yes.
That bodes confidence not only in the fan fest and the fanfare, but, of course, in the team itself. So that's the moniker that we're working off of right now. More importantly, when it's all said and done, after everything happens this season, when we sit down and we do another one of these interviews and look back, all you're going to look at is the wins and losses. You're not going to look at, well, they beat this team, but they had 200 yards in penalties. They beat this team, but they, you know, the guy fumbled the snap. That's not going to come into consideration. That's all it is. Because we in the sports world have a very short memory, right?
Very short.
You know, Lincoln, I think the interesting thing here that I took out of this game is, yeah, the Raiders have been winning on the road, and this is fantastic, especially this game, because of the way they started. Their offense has been their strong point for the entire season, but it did not look good in the first half of that game. And for them to be able to put it back together in the second half, come out and win, that's really promising.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, look, I don't think I've ever played with a quarterback that threw the ball 59 times in a game. But we saw it yesterday. You know what I mean? And it had to happen. I mean, you're absolutely right. You talk about the biggest positive for this team is that it can score. Now, there are times where you're going to be, you know, lackadaisical. You're going to be a little slow out the gate, if you will. But when you need it, it's fun to see that you have the ability to turn it on instead of you just hitting yourself up against the wall. So that's why when you look at the players that we're talking about, you're looking at the future, the foundation. It looks pretty bright because I believe the Raiders have got a franchise quarterback and Derek Carr. I believe they've got a franchise receiver. They've got other receivers. And Derek showed yesterday he had multiple weapons to go to. And even in the end, when it wasn't Amari Cooper, it wasn't Michael Crabtree, it was Seth Roberts came
right
with a fourth down touchdown to win the game. So this has to bode well for all those offense lovers out there in the world that the Raiders can score and they can score on people. Now, as we said before, you just got to turn it around and put it against a good team, and you've got a good defense coming in this week, so we'll see how it comes together.
Now, Lincoln, you kind of touched on it briefly when you talk about the strength of schedule versus the fact that they are getting road wins. Between the 5-0 road record and the fact that they overcame, you know, a team record in penalties yesterday, wouldn't you say, at least in my opinion, overcoming adversity, isn't that more important than the strength of the schedule at this point when you're 6-2?
Yeah, but it's a little disheartening to see so many penalties so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The fact is that there should be absolutely no reason why a, you know, 12 man on the field happens twice in one series. It's things like that just frustrate the heck out of you. I don't know about you guys, it frustrates the heck out of me.
Right.
Because sitting on the sidelines and you're watching this unfold and you're like, you know, I can't literally say with an open mic in my hand, yo, coach, you ain't got enough people on the field. You know, I can't tell them that, you know. But this is not my place. Right. As a former player, this is exactly what I do. More importantly, you know, you get out there and you don't have enough guys on, or you have too many guys on the field, then they score a touchdown, then you don't have enough guys on the field for two-point conversion. So I'm sitting there yelling with an open mic, you don't have enough people on the field. We can call a timeout. So like a true fan, so I have to keep myself out of it. But, you know, always try to look at the positive. The positive, when it's all said and done, is you got to win. And that's what matters. They went to a Florida road trip, two teams they should have beaten. They did beat, That's good. And that shows a sign of a team moving in the right direction.
I'm Lincoln Kennedy, joining us, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, jiffyloopca.com for valuable coupons. And Lincoln, that really comes down to it. Again, you play what's in front of you. They go into Florida. They stay out in Sarasota. They're out there for, what, 3 weeks, basically. They beat the Jags. They beat the Buccaneers. And for them, as we've talked about, to break the NFL record for lack of discipline, they really did play, in many aspects, a dumb game. But unlike years past, the talent overcame the mental lapses. So you have the best of both worlds, don't you, really, from a coaching standpoint? You got the win, but now he can be in their ass all week long despite the win. Wow. And get that IQ up a little bit.
I would hope so. I mean, because let's face it, you're not going to win that many games giving up 200 yards of penalties.
No,
it's just, I mean, Tampa Bay, for what it's worth, I've never come across a team that was as poorly managed, a game as it was poorly managed, and a team that was poorly managed. I mean, just from Tampa Bay State, you know, Dirk Cotter, the head coach, showed no confidence in his first pick in the draft, Jameis Winston, with 2 minutes to go, and you don't even try to get down the field to get a score. You've seen the Raiders get the ball in the second half. I mean, it's instances like that, guys, that we in the sports world shake our head like, dude, what are you thinking? You know, and you don't deserve to have a job after stuff like that. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but it's true. You know, conversely, you look at where the Raiders are. If you're Jack Del Rio and his staff, what do you have to clean up? We have to clean up a lot. But there are various times during games that you kind of have to accept that you're going to get those bonehead penalties. Like in the first quarter, Michael Crabtree, you know, didn't like the way the Conte, the safety, was on his leg. You know, lashed out at him. Well, that's a penalty. Got to be smarter than that. And that really took a lot of momentum away from the first quarter. It gave Tampa Bay an edge because it ended up shaving like 7 minutes or seven, something like that off the clock because they got the ball back and they marched down the field. So those are instances, as well as they keep compiling. There's the holdings, the TDs holdings, the offsides. I mean, these things, it was mind-blowing, the fact that they were still able to win after all that.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning on The Drive. Now, Lincoln, what do you take out of this win over the Buccaneers that you can take into next week at home against the Broncos that you can apply, and what issues do you address for that game?
Well, first of all, you address the what you can take out of it is that you got to win. You're 6-2. It's a battle for first place. Those are the coaching points that the coaches walk into the team meeting rooms and they say to the players. And then you compile that by saying, look, we got to get better. We got to get better in every phase. They got to get more production out of the run game. They got to get more production out of the run defense, especially, you know, Denver coming in a little banged up on the offensive side. They still got a notable defense. More importantly, you know, Derek has been good with the ball. He has to continue to do what he's doing. He can't have a step back. I'm hoping the weather is ideal for Sunday night when they come here, because we just saw the last game when they were at home. It wasn't ideal. We saw that the visiting team seemed to play better than the elements the home team did. So I'm hoping that it's ideal conditions so there are no excuses or no feelings that there are going to be any excuses for a dismal performance.
You know, we talked about the penalties, the self-inflicted wounds for the Raiders, but a big moment yesterday, Amari Cooper had a phenomenal day but dropped one huge pass late in the game. And not to pick on Amari, my point here is more just that Derek Carr is showing Lincoln that he's as good as any quarterback in the game when the chips are down. He put his guys in a position to win that game repeatedly yesterday.
Well, without a doubt, without a doubt. And I know Amari wishes he had that ball back because that's something that they practiced in warm-ups and pregame warm-ups and stuff like that to see if they can get that those types of balls. But, you know, what impresses me about Derek most, not only is his passion for the game, but his accuracy. And there were several instances in that game with those passes he threw that he was incredibly accurate. He put the ball spot where it needs to be. And Tampa Bay's got some decent corners. I mean, they got some guys they drafted high in Hargraves and those guys that that are pretty doggone good corners. That there wasn't a whole lot of separation, so they had to really take advantage of accuracy. And Derek did that ideally yesterday.
All right, Lincoln, I'm going to hate again here for a second. Derek Carr is amazing, no doubt about it. And I think he's become one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. If you're drafting today, I think he's absolutely there, if not higher. There's a thing where you have the mentality as a team where you know that if you are down late in the game, you can get on Derek Carr's shoulders and he's going to lead you to the promised land, and that's a positive. Can it also be a negative if you fall into the habit of thinking Derek Carr is going to bail you out every time?
Well, certainly. Certainly. You don't want to have to play from behind every game because there's going to be times where it doesn't go your way. You know, for the Raiders, look, if you combine every game the Raiders had won, there's one instance that in the past decade didn't happen for the Raiders. It didn't happen. Yep. Go back to the Tennessee game, the fourth down at the end of the game. That would have been called pass interference. The San Diego game, a guy fumbles a snap on a field goal to tie it. When does that happen? When have you seen that? When have you seen, like yesterday, when have you seen a kicker miss an extra point? Mm. These are instances that in the past that have plagued the Raiders. The ball has bounced the other way against the Raiders. Now it's going for the Raiders. So it almost seems like, you know, maybe serendipity that it's bound to happen or it's happening for the guys. But there are times where you don't want to sit there and rely on the fact that, oh, we got a good quarterback. We're never really far out of it. That can be somewhat comforting. But you're going to need other phases in the game. There's sometimes, like in the Kansas City game, where offense was struggling, where Derek felt pressed, and Derek tried to scramble up in the middle of a hole where he saw was open and didn't realize that there was a defensive end who was close to him, and he was, you know, lax with the ball and popped it out on the fumble and the turnover in the red zone. Those things happen, you know, so that's why you want to have all three phases come together. That's a sign of a strong team.
Lincoln, I want to ask you a little bit about the Broncos. Obviously, you look at that team, they're the ones to beat. They're the defending champs. But when you look especially at how Trevor Siemian has played the last couple weeks, I mean, just it doesn't look good for them. He threw for an interception yesterday. He had two fumbles. What's going on with him in terms of how teams are figuring out how to really put pressure on him? And what can the Raiders take from their game plans?
Well, this is the thing. You know how high the Broncos were in preseason and start of season and how well he looked early. What you take from this is the fact that we have a term in the business. Now that people have got film on him, he's not as good as they thought he initially was going to be, which is right. Now that people have seen his tendencies and broke it down, because this is what happens in a professional football or professional sports, they want to negate a lot of the things that these guys like him can do well, and they have. O.J. Anderson being out has hurt them, you know, not having a consistent running game because that's a quarterback's best friend. So what do you take from that? You take the fact that, hey, for including last year when they won the Super Bowl, their offense wasn't gangbusters. They weren't record breakers. They weren't tearing the place up like they did the year before offensively. Their defense is what won a lot of the games for them. And you saw that last night, especially with San Diego. And even though Trevor had a couple of turnovers, it's obviously clear that this defense is still leading this team. So that's what you have to take into solace. If your offense is your strength, their defense is their strength, something's got to give. You got to take advantage. You got to play a near-perfect game. More importantly, you got to create turnovers or create short fields. It's easier said than done when you've got a team like Denver coming into your house.
Lincoln, do you have any update on Sean Smith's injury?
I do not. It was a shoulder injury, and the way he came down, I don't know if you guys noticed it. But
it didn't look fun.
It didn't look fun. It did not look fun the way he came down because he tried to push the ball out with his left hand, and then the receiver came with his full body weight down on an exposed arm and drove it into the ground. So I do not know the severity of the injury. I don't want to speculate, but I will say this, that with him not coming back in, there's cause for concern.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us, thanks to Jiffy Lube. And as we have kind of done each and every Monday, so far as it's mattered, we will finish the interview with the following. I don't know if you're aware, you were busy, but those Huskies got a bit of a win behind.
Did they win?
Yeah, they went into Utah where College Game Day and everything going on, and Lee Corso actually picked against Utah. He put on the Husky hat there.
Oh wow!
Yeah, how about that?
That's a big time.
They go into Utah. They win number 17. They win by a touchdown. That was an interesting game. So, correct me if I'm wrong. Throw the Apple Cup out the window, okay? Because that's always going to be something there. But the three games before that. Why is it that I think at Cal is the scariest game for them?
Because Cal can score.
Yeah.
And they have the offensive weapons. Davis Webb is playing tremendous as well for them. I never knew that, you know, losing your quarterback to the number one in the draft, that you'd be able to reload as quickly as they did. But that's Sonny Dykes, and that's what Cal can do. So yeah, the level of concern is there, obviously, as an alum and as an analyst. But I just think in this instance, especially this week, if you watch that SC versus Cal game, you know, defensively, Cal is a walking mash unit. I don't know if they're going to have enough guys. They might have to go out there and put some more kids in the because they're running out. There's a lot of injuries that are piling up. It's still a road game for the Dogs. Anything can happen. I saw them fortunate enough to get a win because Utah did play them tough, which everyone expected them to do. They can't afford to have a letdown. Again, that emotion, keeping that emotion level high every week, no matter the opponent, is easier said than done. They cannot be overlooking this Cal team to USC the following week.
You're probably the only other guy around here that was as pissed off as me at my Seminoles dropping the ball against Clemson. That would have helped you a bit.
Oh, my gosh. I had the Seminoles picked. I thought everything was in the favor. I thought they had it. They were going to knock Clemson. But you know what? Clemson has proved once again that they can win in the end.
Well, it's interesting. Late in the game when you need a score, it's always a bad idea to go backwards and take three straight sacks. It's just I know you usually play football, but in case you were wondering, you probably shouldn't take three straight sacks when time's running out, you know?
You know what? That's a marvelous assessment. Thank you. I'm going to have to write that down and remember that.
Thank you, Lincoln.
It's beautiful.
We don't just entertain, we educate. Lincoln Kennedy on with us every Monday. Thanks to Jiffy Lube. Huge game against the Broncos coming up. I cannot wait to talk to you in a week, and hopefully there's a Raider win behind it.
I hope so, too, my friends. You guys have a wonderful week. We'll talk soon.
You take care.
Thanks, Lincoln.
That's Lincoln Kennedy joining us. We got some calls waiting. Dean, you're on KHDK.
David.
Deanus.
K-Town.
Hey.
Dean.
Dog.
What's up with it?
Hey, first off, Nate, I love, you know, I feel the hate with you on a daily basis, but you are totally wrong about the NFL in Europe. The best thing that could have happened to the NFL was that they played to a tie, because they play soccer in Europe, and 90% of the soccer games end in ties. So the Europeans were all happy about that.
Great point.
Jeez.
So, and also, as far as the Raiders go, Dave, the defense is giving up far too many points. It's awesome. And I have to say, Popov is the best touchdown. I'm not even a Raiders fan, but when he does that, touchdown, Raiders! It's just, I love it every time he does it, and it's fantastic.
I completely agree.
Greg Popov
on the call. Greg Popov on the call, everybody. Yes, sir, Nathan.
You want some breaking
news? Is that
a
reference to his muscle relaxers?
The Popovs? I think that's
a type
of vodka. Yeah, let's go to the Nate Goodyear sports desk here with breaking news. As a matter of fact, I think I even, do I have one? Yeah, no,
you
I
do.
Don't.
You used to.
Yeah, here we go.
There you go.
Breaking news. Here's Nate Goodyear at the Goodyear Sports Desk.
The Houston Chronicle reporting that 7-time All-Pro Andre Johnson will be announcing his retirement today.
Whoa.
He informed the Tennessee Titans. The team announced it earlier this morning. He is top 10 in the league in receptions and receiving yards, and again, a 7-time Pro Bowler with the Texans. He's the team's franchise leader in receptions, yards, everything.
I think Andre Johnson will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, though his numbers pale in comparison to a guy like Terrell Owens who didn't make it. But as we've talked about ad nauseum, what he has, Andre Johnson has, is he has the best of both worlds. He has tremendous receiving numbers, but he also, by all accounts, is about the most professional guy
Silence.
In the league. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what is it with players retiring midway through the season this year? That's such a rarity, and now we've got two in consecutive weeks with Arian Foster last week. This is nuts.
I know. I'm kind of, but when it comes to football, I applaud anyone at any time that they say, you know what, I've had about enough of this crap. I want to walk
right
when I'm older. I mean, to me, and I think that's what we're seeing with a lot of these guys, is that they realize when it's done, dude, you have got to get out, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in practice, much less Sunday in the game.
Well, and there was a ton of, you know, big name, you know, retirements in the offseason that were unexpected, you know, with guys going out in their prime. It's kind of insane. This should be a concern for the NFL. We talk about ratings. We talk about all these issues, the no fun league. Well, the safety of it. They say it's a priority. You're seeing some of your stars retiring when they're in their prime. You've got guys retiring mid-year. This is crazy.
Well, we're trying to lock in Sean Salisbury for the next segment. I know we missed him last week, and if we are able to handle him, because I know he's got a funky schedule right now, we're able to corral him in. That's definitely something we can talk about too with him. We'll also talk about the Raiders and get a little bit of news from around the league. It's The Drive. We're right back. Kings at 8:30 as well. Sports 1140 KHTK.